Show with Anna DeFrancis, yes. And we've got royalty in
yes,
the studio.
Yes, we do.
With us, Joe Mantegna is here.
Hi, Joe.
He is one of the greatest mm-hmm. products of Chicago ever. I mean, a lot of people like to think of deep dish pizza. I don't think of that.
And an Italian beef. I think I come in maybe third at the best.
Yeah, that's huge. You have a place in L.A., don't you?
We did. For 15 years, it was my wife's place called Taste Chicago. But after 15 years, the restaurant business, it's a tough business. And she said, you know what? I'm done. We've served our last deep dish, our last Italian beef, and it was fine. We had a great run.
You guys used to all of our expats who were living out in L.A.
Yeah, but there was a lot of them.
Once a year party, right, with all the guys.
And then when the Cubs would come to L.A., mm-hmm. Ricketts would actually have us cater at Dodger Stadium for he'd throw a party for all the Cub fans, you know, Chicago expat Cub fans.
Yeah,
and it was great. So we'd be eating deep dish and.
Dreesen always first to arrive, last to leave.
Oh, exactly.
Chatting everybody up the whole time.
I know exactly how this goes. Hey, I don't know if you know this. He's from Harvey. I don't know if you know that.
And he
used to open for Sinatra. I had no idea.
Who knew?
He's a great guy.
I just mentioned it. All right. You are involved in a really, really, really cool project. If you love comedy and you love just sort of the history of American entertainment, there is probably no larger looming legend than that of Lenny Bruce. There just isn't in terms of comedy. Everybody who came after him, whether it was Carlin or Pryor or, you know, to today's great comics, and there are so many great comics, they all owe a debt of gratitude to Lenny Bruce, because Lenny Bruce was a guy who opened up all of the ability for comics not to just be insult comics or, you know, just the Henny Youngmans. Nothing against Henny Youngman. He was very successful and very great at what he did, but in terms of social commentary, in terms of changing the way that people think and they relate to comedy and to one human being on a stage and a microphone, there's no greater influence than Lenny Bruce. And you've decided to mount, you're producing and directing, right, a one-man show. And we have actually the actor who's doing the one-man show with you sitting next to you. I'll let you do the introduction and explain the whole process here, Ronnie Marmo. But what brought you to the Lenny Bruce?
Well, you know, it was Ronnie that did it. I mean, I was very familiar with Lenny Bruce, with his impact on comedy. I'm old enough to, though I never saw him perform in person, you know, I saw him on film, and I heard my brother's old enough that he...
You knew his influence.
I definitely knew his influence. And then I'd worked with Ronnie in California with his theater group and had directed a little something for him and also did a movie that he had written. And when he came to me with this project and said, I could see that he had just devoted an incredible amount of time in writing this piece and just delving into it and making it his own, and he came to me and said, I'm really interested in perhaps if you're up for it to direct this piece that I've come up with on Lenny Bruce. And as soon as he said Lenny Bruce, just like what you said in your intro there, that name caught my ear to like say, okay, well, let's see what you got. And just to cut to the chase is when I told him, I said, let's see what you got, he showed me what he had, and I said, you know what, as I'm a believer of, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage, it was on the page. So I said, let's put it on the stage.
Huge compliment.
So yeah. I think he got it. I mean, and I did Lenny, the play Lenny that was written by Julian Barry, that they made the movie out of, right, with Dustin Hoffman. I did that here in Chicago at the 11th Street Theater. I understudied the lead of Lenny back in 1972. So I was familiar on that level, too, and been around it. And Julian, even back then, would play me tapes. He played me the last tape Lenny made before he died, even. And mm-hmm. so I had like some insight into aspects of Lenny that the normal person wouldn't have even had. But when I saw what the work Ronnie had put into it and his portrayal of it, I thought, this hasn't been done yet. This is taking it up another notch. So that's why I got involved.
High wire act, though, Ronnie. I mean, this is it's almost an impossibility now. And not only obviously the movie Lenny that everybody remembers, Dustin Hoffman, what has he done since? But there's you've got that performance, which I think was Oscar nominated, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, a bunch of Oscars.
Yeah,
in fact.
And then you go from that to, you know, there's sort of a resurgence here of interest in Lenny Bruce. Even The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, right?
Yes.
That the Amazon Prime series. They have a character that obviously is directly drawn from Lenny Bruce, that it showing the impact that he had on New York comedy at that moment, stand-up comedy. what made you interested in doing this? Because obviously you're a younger man. You're not, you know, you never saw him live.
No, I was born after he had passed. You know, I did this other play called Lenny Bruce's Back and Boy Is He Pissed. And it was funny. Yeah, it was funny. And I did it about a dozen years ago. And long story short, it came to me. It was a one-man show. I did it. I loved it. I ran for 6 months. But as I learned more about Lenny Bruce, because I knew Carlin and Pryor, but I didn't know much about Lenny. Mm-hmm. I knew his name. Kind of knew his influence. And then once I started to research this guy, I fell in love with him. And then what I realized by doing that play was that we weren't doing any of his bits. It was a very safe version of Lenny Bruce. And once I fell in love with the guy, I realized that I was kind of disrespecting him by not telling the whole story. And so I asked the playwright, may I please put in the bits and we can move the script down? And he said, no, my play's written. So I said, okay. So I went off for 5 years and wrote this play. And that's what happened.
And you needed the estate to okay this, right?
Oh, yeah. Kitty Bruce and I are very close. She gave me the best compliment. She said it's the best portrayal of her father she's ever seen.
Oh,
and
wow.
And we're like, she's like my best friend, my sister, my daughter. You know what I mean? We mm-hmm. have this crazy friendship, and she's really supported us through all this. I talk to her 10 times a day, and it's really special.
So it's some of his original material.
Yes.
And then some storytelling that you're writing. What else is happening?
There's most of it's, I'd say 90% of it's based on articles I've read or things, and I kind of obviously created a story around it. But I'd say probably a good, 25% of the play are things you won't find on Google, things I found through Kitty, going through the boxes in the attic, as it were. And so there's, if you're a Lenny Bruce fan, you will find out a lot of stuff that you don't know. And
that's talking about high wire. That's now the Willis Tower high wire.
I agree.
Just said Willis Tower. Can you believe that? Seriously.
Yeah, I don't even know what the Willis
what
Tower
talking
is.
About?
Right in front of Joe Montaigne, I said Willis Tower.
There is no
God.
Willis Tower.
I know.
Yeah.
What am I, an idiot? Anyway, so, I mean, that's really something, because it's a very specific thing. I mean, the Lenny Bruce fans, there's a lot of people in comedy who obviously have studied him and are gigantic fans. But over the years, I think since the 1970s, since he passed away and since the movie and stuff, it really has waned until this moment. And it's kind of ridiculous, but The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is a great television show,
yeah,
has kind of brought back interest.
Well,
it
sold a lot of tickets for us, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I mean, they don't give Luke Kirby enough to do on the show. As a Lenny Bruce fan, I want him to get to do more.
Yeah.
But that's okay. The show's not about him. But I have to tell you, when I first started out, I didn't try to imitate Lenny, because that's a horrible idea. I just listened to everything I could. I read everything, and then I threw it all away and just tried to capture his spirit. And as a result, I guess I sound and act just like him, but I really didn't try, because I don't do imitations.
You smoking on stage?
No, I don't. We don't smoke. I don't smoke in the play.
Do you think if he were alive today, he'd vape? That's a question.
Sure.
What would you do?
I know, Joe, you're the director.
I don't think Lenny would vape.
Okay. All right, okay. Check it.
But my real review was, when Jack Burns and Schreiber, Burns and Carlin, Joanne Worley, Pat Harrington, when they came to the first production, they would watch a show and they would be crying and they'd say, my friend Lenny, I miss Lenny. And so that's when I knew I was onto something. It wasn't like the actual reviews. Not that I don't respect them. Of course I want nice reviews. But it was those people that said, I miss my friend. You brought my friend back.
Oh, wow.
His friend, Frankie Ray Pirelli, his best friend, would come to every single performance and sit in the front row. 6 month run. Every single performance. And he would just cry and cry. And
well, when I sat with Kitty Bruce, Lenny's daughter, when Ronnie did the play we're doing now, mm-hmm, and I just sat next to her when she saw it for the first time, she's holding my hand, and boy, she would be squeezing my hand at certain moments. And I kept thinking, I really, because in a way we're a little worried. How is she going to react to this? Because she wasn't a big fan of a lot of the portrayals of her father.
I'm sure.
And things that had been written and said about him and whatever. But she's been, as Ronnie said, she's become such our greatest supporter. And that, for me, was the final confirmation of, like, you know what? It's Kitty gets it. What more can you ask?
Right.
For?
What more can you ask?
How do you play somebody's dad?
It's like, and for her to tell you
right,
that.
Right. And she's a character in it. I don't know what mother's a character in essence.
As a director, did you make a change then based on her reaction?
No, not at all. We didn't change anything based on that. And the thing is, it's funny. I sometimes I think about that. I know the play well enough to be able to say if someone has a problem with it, I have an argument, I would think, combat that. Mm-hmm. In other words, or an explanation.
Yeah.
I think at a certain point, it's almost like what the playwright said to Ronnie about, like, I can't change it because I've written my play. And I think that's how I feel about this. I think there's a justification for everything that's in there and for whatever we've done. And I mean, and there are aspects of this play that's very controversial. I mean, there's going to be things that are going to offend some people, mm-hmm. whether it's visually, verbally.
We're content. So easily offended.
If you were, yeah, I know, and that's the problem. We're more offended now than we were 30 years ago. I mean, we're going backwards.
Yeah,
it's very weird.
If you would find me naked offensive, then you'll be offended in the first second of the play. That's how I start to show.
Well, he lives, speaking of what's in it, he lives such a tormented life. I think that's fair to say, right? Would you say so?
Yes.
And how much of that early life do you get into, and then how much is on the comedy and his success and that kind of thing?
We take you on the whole ride.
From the
we
beginning?
Start to play lights up, and I'm literally dead naked on the toilet. And literally. And then the play doesn't let up.
That was an addition I made.
Yeah, Joe. It was Joe's idea. He wanted to see my
I started
ass.
My career doing ass? Hair here in Chicago, 1969. I was
yes,
naked on stage. I figured at least he could do it.
Yeah, Joe's like, right. What do you care? Show your ass. I was like, Joe, come on. So literally, I
Joe would never say that.
No, he didn't care. He was like, what do you care? But anyway, you know, it's that's how I start the play. And we kind of start at the end, and we take you back in time. And we go through all of it. We do all of it. And the play doesn't let up. It's very funny at times. It's heartbreaking. It's tragic. It's crazy. It's
like
it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Sometimes people talk to me
as
on
you
stage.
Say, his life was. It's very profane, very very moving, very informative, all kinds of things.
You know, and the title of this is I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce. It's so perfect because Lenny Bruce is really not a comedian.
Right.
Lenny Bruce was a performance artist who changed the way that people view an individual on stage. That was it. Beginning, middle, and end.
I love your interpretation. I've never heard it said that way, and I think you're right. That's really smart. Social critic. He was everything. He was so much.
Yeah. I mean, he made people laugh, right? He made people laugh, but we're laughing at ourselves, which, again, back to Joe's point, we don't do that anymore.
No.
We don't have any sense of fallibility anymore. And
he was
crazy.
Smart, and he was funny, but he was very smart. All his bits, even the ones that seemed to be silly, by the end, you go, wow, that's a...
And Chicago's very prominent in this play, in other words, because he ran into a few problems.
Mr. Kelly's, right?
Yeah, and Mr. Kelly's, and also he got arrested here a few times.
Yeah.
And so and that this comes out in our
yeah, we talk about it pretty early on. I do a bit called Christ and Moses that I just put into the play 2 weeks ago, actually. We're constantly working on it.
That's his.
Yeah, it's his. It's mm-hmm. a famous bit and that he got in trouble for here, and I do Christ and Moses. Then we go into this big N-word bit, which I'm sure you know about, his infamous N-word. I do it like 7 minutes into the show.
Wow. No, people are but you see, that's the point. And we're not challenging people's real identity, you know, because it's about soul. I think with the one thing about Lenny Bruce, he lived and he died on his soul. And sometimes it was twisted,
right,
and clearly
right,
the drugs addled right. him, and it eventually killed him, and his own, you know, for lack of a better term, mishigas in his head that he couldn't ever quite figure out. There were moments of just like almost electric, like lightning truth.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing, like the N-word bit, the thing is, you see the bit and then you realize he was such a supporter of civil rights, and that he was, and that's the whole point of the bit.
Yes.
So, in other words, Dick Gregory's son has become a big supporter of our play, and just yesterday he sent this beautiful text to Ronnie about knowing that we were going to be opening here in Chicago because he saw the play and loved it, and how he kept saying how his father would have been such a supporter of what Ronnie's doing.
And Dick Gregory's hometown.
Yeah, and I mean, and Dick Gregory's just
Chicago. Yeah.
You know, he was just so brilliant, and. So what Lenny, you know, what Lenny's been able to do, like just even in that bit, is to kind of put something out there and right in people's faces that initially it's almost shocking, but then you take it all in and you realize it's
well, good for you. I couldn't be happier that you're doing this. I couldn't be happier that you're keeping this alive, because people need to know this. Because this, we are. You're Joe Mantegna. You're totally right. We are moving backwards here in terms of how we perceive ourselves, and for on all sides of this argument, right? People are just so sensitive, and there's the cancel culture and all of that. And that's why I love what Chappelle just did. As crazy and as controversial as that has become, it's about drawing that line, about saying, I can say things, that, but this is my comedy. This is what
I'm
saying.
Did you see the headline in the Chicago Tribune? It said, David, which a week before we got here, Chappelle is getting in trouble for the same things that got Lenny Bruce arrested. That is a paraphrase, but that's what the headline was. So I was like, clearly people are still talking about Lenny.
I'm not a comedian. I'm Lenny Bruce. Opens on Wednesday night. At the, and this is a great place to go see a show. I think you're, first of all, before I give you the final details here, a portion of the proceeds goes to the Lenny Bruce Memorial Foundation. That's a very important point here.
Yes, it is.
That's a foundation that provides help, insurance, and ability to get treatment for drug and alcohol addiction.
Yes. Right, right, I'm very proud of that. I'm on the board, and it's really important.
All right. So if you want tickets, it's Group Tix at 773-327-3778. It's the Royal George where this is playing on Halsted Street, right across from, you know, right there in that theater row. North Avenue and Halsted, essentially, is where this is going to be. And, or LennyBruceOnStage.com is a place to go. Get the tickets as well.
Awesome.
Gentlemen, thank you so much
for having us.
Joe Mantegna, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Right now, Lauren Lapka, traffic.